Okay. Thank you, Tony. Yes? Okay. Thank you. Computer bank. Yeah. And gentleman at the back? Yes, Queensland TAFE. Yeah, and okay, so high school, university. All right. I guess I'll just give it a start. You can hear me, okay? Yeah. Yeah. What I'm talking about is, well, it's a project that started, well, in my head it starts, so I'm Sandrine Balbo, I'm with the University of Melbourne Department of Information Systems, kind of just a couple of blocks down. That project started in my head when I arrived at Melbourne University about 5 years ago. I used to work for CSIRO as a human computer interaction specialist, kind of user experience type person. Then I went to move to London, work as an information architect for a couple of years, and finally ended up as an academic at Melbourne, where because of, I had background in computing languages, having done, you know, all my studies in computer science, they asked me to teach Java. And I said, okay, you know, never always wanted to learn about object-oriented. I said, what's the best way than teaching it? And I went through quite a bit of hard time because, well, you know, my C and my programming languages were quite a bit rusty. So it took me a while to kind of get into, not only back into, you know, looking at a programming language, but also into object-oriented. And so from that experience, you know, trying to teach the students and really observing the students, well, I'm a user experience person, really, a designer. And so I tend to observe the way I interacted with the students, and I try also to observe the way the students were dealing with the concepts of learning these object-oriented concepts. And trying to really, you know, how do you go from a simple requirement set to a set of classes and objects that you could then, you know, transform into a Java program. And I came across one of the lecturer that used to teach that subject did some little interactive movie where you would see a requirement specs and then the verb and the noun would be highlighted and then we'd fly into the class diagram and then it would be transformed into Java. And that kind of gave me the idea of trying to provide a tool that the students could have to be able to manipulate those verbs and nouns in the text itself, and then starting transforming them and building them up into the class diagram. And then a couple of years ago, I applied for a grant from IBM Eclipse Innovation Grant, and I got it. With that idea, I just put that idea on paper, and I got the grant, and that's how that SpecLad started. So with the money from the grant, I hired Shandika, a software engineer, who did all the developments that you will see behind. So it's a two-part environment. There is an Eclipse plugin where the students or the learner is going to try to build the class diagram from a requirement specs. Requirement specs just being a bit of text. And then there is also an online environment in which learners and experienced people will be able to share problems and solutions and discuss those problems and solutions. So it's really a two-part. And along down the line, a few more people got interested in this project, Rod Farmer from our department, but also people in computer science and also Judith Schurz from Monash University. So the team of people interested in this project is kind of at the moment is growing, and I'm always looking for ideas, and at the moment we're really in a phase where we finished the first development, and so we're going to do maybe some write-up, and then we would like to, we have a lot of ideas, a lot of different directions that we would like to take this project further. And what I want to get from you people is also maybe, you know, well, those ideas, which one, you know, would be better to go next, and what other maybe directions we could take. So, as I said, it's a two parts. There is the Eclipse plugin that is going to enable us to create those class diagrams. Well, we did it within Eclipse because, well, we had that grant that kind of started us. So eventually, you know, in an ideal world, it could be, it would be all online, it would be great, but that's how we started. So at the moment, we're a little bit stuck with that, but maybe something for next. And also, really, what is really exciting us at the moment is that web-based collaborative environments that we've developed and that we've, we used Drupal kind of to, little content management system, really. So I'm going to present both of these. And I also have to kind of apologize a little bit. I might not make too good sense. I'm a bit soft. My head is kind of exploding at the moment. I've got one of those tension headaches, which been, I'm in the middle of it. So I should, excuse me if I tend to go away too much, just stop me and interrupt me and help me go back on track, please. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the ideas that, well, a couple of my colleagues that are in the education, I'm not in the education field, well, I'm kind of starting putting a few, you know, going into that direction with this project, but Rod Farmer, Linda Stern, Judith Sherd, all the other collaborators are in that education field, and they are helping me frame the ideas from an education field, from an education perspective that really support what we are implementing. A few publications, you can get them from the SpecLad website that I will be demonstrating as well. We've been presenting this work so far at the two Melbourne Conventicles in 2006 and 2007, and at the Metal Conference, which is a University of Melbourne kind of internal little conference that we have there. And I went and talk at EdMedia and then the A-square conference in December in Melbourne. So the design concerns is really about, so from an education's perspective, how do we get kind of technology to support people in their learning? And also one thing that is very strong and very important for us is how can we get, you know, that long life learning kind of objectives? How do we get people to try to get something out of a software tool to get them to grow and learn about object-oriented, or even to share what they've learned about object-oriented? So it's really about around self-management, around peer-assisted learning as well, that we hope that we really would like to grow that tool much further. And I will give you demos of both the Eclipse plugin and the website in a minute. For the website, well, maybe I'll come back to those key design concerns, well, while I do the demo, but we really are trying to put in place mechanisms so that the solutions that are posted there, well, we have ways to, people that are going to look at them will have way to say, well, is this a good solution? Is this not such a good solution? So some kind of rating coming up there. And also, trying to provide an environment where people can share their solution. And not just share the solutions, but also discuss the solutions. And here I really, for about a year, what this project was, what the first step of the project, the Eclipse plugin was being developed, I also observed myself and I observed my tutors who were teaching with me the Java subject, and I looked at, You know, when we receive a class diagram from the students, what do we do with it? How do we annotate them? How do we give back feedback to our students? And from that observation came up the idea of, well, we will have that website where we're going to share solutions, so why not be also able to annotate those solutions to say, you know, here is something great, here is a big tick, here is something that you should not do, and this is how you should do it, and so on. So I come back a little bit more. And so another couple of kind of key concerns that we had when we were really thinking about developing the website is, well, how do we drive user adoption? I guess that's something that at the moment, well, it hasn't been, the website that I'm going to show you and the system only been adopted by, well, I'm going to use it next semester in my subjects for the first time. I started using it a tiny little bit in last year, but it wasn't completely developed then, so the students really couldn't use it. So now I'm going to get my students to use it. So hopefully that's going to give it a bit of momentum. So what I think it's a bit hard to just speak with words. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to demo what it is that I'm talking about. I'm going to start with the Eclipse plugin. So when you start, when you create a new SpecLad file, and that name, SpecLad, initially came from specification to class diagrams. And in fact, you will see that on the website, we kind of expanded that. We're not just talking about requirement specification, a bit of text, but we're talking about a problem that has a solution associated to it. For the Eclipse plugin, we're still talking about requirement specs. So the idea of that plugin, the idea of that little tool that I'm now going to demonstrate, is to support the students in transforming a requirement specs, a bit of text, as we can see here, into a class diagram that is going to then be able to be implemented in an object-oriented program. So the first step, so what we did in a very, we're forcing the students or anybody who is using that plugin to adopt a step-by-step approach. And these are, so that step are, first of all, you'll have to look at your requirement specs and find out what is a noun, what is a verb, and you have to highlight that. Then you will do what we call a word kind of analysis, and then you will go only, once you've done that analysis of each single verb and noun that you found, then you will start thinking about your design. So we're really forcing that step by step. So here we see some blue and some red. Well, what we highlight blue, so what we do is, when you find a noun, you highlight it and you say, okay, I'm going to mark it as a noun. And all your nouns will end up being blue in that text. And then when you find a verb, like to recall, so here I'm kind of adding new nouns and verbs, you're going to, again, mark it. So you have to, well, you have to know what a noun and a verb is to start with. We kind of assume that, although I know that sometimes I have to recall to my students what it means, what is a verb, what is a noun. So once you've done your first read of your requirement spec, so here we have a very simple set where we say in our organization we have many students from all levels and staff. For all, we record their names and blah, 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 okay? So once you've done all your verb and nouns, and let's just save this, then once you're satisfied that you highlighted all the ones that you believe are necessary, then you go to the next tab. And in that tab, well, you will select each of those tab, of those verbs and noun, and for each of them, you will need to make a decision. So the decision, remember, we're talking about object-oriented here, so you will need to decide. So you already decided that it was a noun. You already marked it in the text. Here you have the whole text with what you highlighted, which is just to give you the context so you don't forget. And you will give it, first of all, an alias, and then you will decide. So simple decisions that you will have to make. Is it a class? Is it an attribute? Or is it a method? And you will be able, so then you will be able to decide for each of them, and also you will be able to set to enter, oops, sorry, what did I do? For each of them, you will be able to also enter some notes. And yeah, there is, on the Mac, the box doesn't appear there, so. But you can type in some notes if you wish to. And so that work, you will be doing it for all your verbs and noun that you had. So we are really here forcing the person who is going through that to take on that step-by-step approach. Once you decided, okay, here are a couple of, a year is going to be an attribute. Well, I don't decide yet, an attribute to which object is that going to relate to, but I'm just starting, saying, okay, I have my classes, students, staff, and graduate students. I have a method which is awarded, and well, have is going to be a method. I don't really know. I'll have to rethink about that a little bit later on. And then I have latest qualifications, members, a name for qualifications, and so on, which are going to be my attributes. So here I make some decisions. Well, I will be able to get back to them. But I kind of, step by step, through my requirements, through all my verbs and noun, making my decision, my initial decisions. And only then, I let them start thinking about in terms of classes and to kind of start filling up these classes. So when you first come to the design tab, you only have in here, you will only have the classes that you created. None of the attributes, none of the methods will be placed yet. And this will be, again, it might be a little bit, taking a bit of time and effort, but you will have to go to each of your class and you will have to start populating them. And then you will say, well, I know that my graduate class has some attributes and it has some methods, so you will start by saying, okay, I want to add an attribute, and then here, well, an attribute must be extracted from a noun, so it will list all the nouns that you have not yet allocated, and you will be able to then select. And if you don't find the noun you want then, you can always create a new attribute that's is not extracted from the nouns that you have there. So, and then you kind of start creating your classes with the attributes and the methods that are associated to each of those classes. One thing that you will need to do, so for the classes, you will be able to say, which class it extends and so on. And for the attributes, you will be able to, give a type. Unfortunately, there is not much links there. You can't, if I want an attribute to be of a class staff, for example, I will have to type it in by hand. So that relationship, I will have to add manually in my associations. So it has some limitations, but at the same time, it gives you kind of a frame where you can start playing with ideas. And then once you've done this work, so you populated your classes, you created your associations, so you kind of told the system, these classes have some associations there, then the creation of the class diagram is going to be done automatically. Because we have here all the information we need to create the class diagram. And often the students really struggle with going from the text to the drawing, you know, of the boxes, because, well, they don't go through those three initial steps, where looking at the words, the nouns, making sense of what is it that they are. Are they a class, an attribute, or a method? And then kind of starting putting it together. This is a very restrictive way to, you know, get you to design a class diagram, but it's a way that, well, I'm going to experiment with my students in the coming semester. And we are going to run, in fact, in February, we're also going to run some usability testing of these ideas. So I'm not going to, well, Violet, which is the tool that we, the Eclipse plugin that we use, doesn't run on the Mac, so I'm not going to demo it here. But I'm going to show you some resulting class diagram on the website itself. Are there any questions so far? No? The thing about this website is, well, initially we designed the website around requirement specifications and class diagrams, but then we decided to kind of try to generalize that, especially after going and presenting this at EdMedia in Vancouver last year. People were starting saying, but why, you know, why couldn't I, for example, have a problem, an electrical problem there, you know, which is also in a form of a text, and then to have an electrical diagram, which is going to be the solution to that electrical problem. So we decided, instead of talking about requirements and class diagrams, we are going to talk about problems and solutions. So the website is much more general. And in fact, when you create a problem, when you go and submit a problem, it will ask you which category is that problem in. So if we look at the list of problems that we have, well, at the moment we only have UML designs, but we could also have ER diagrams, electrical engineering problems. We could also have maybe philosophical problems as well, where you would have a mind map as a result of an analysis of a text, or, you know, we can grow quite wide there. So I'm going to show you how we use it with our UML designs. And so here, for example, but at the moment, we only have three problems that are in the system. So each problem, and we're going to have a look at this top group again. So when you submit it, you submit the text of your problem, okay? And then once it's submitted, what we really, and this has been developed with using the Drupal content management system, what we really want to do is we want to have discussions around not just solutions, but also the problems itself. So each page, in fact, will have its own discussion forum, where you could imagine to have some discussions around the definitions, the wording, the way that problem is presented. So, and you would post your solution, well, at the end here. You could also, you will be able to also write the problem. So here, that problem has only one solution, but we enable as many solutions to the same problem. As you know, well, when we have a problem, we may have many, many solutions that are associated to it. And then we'll go and have a look at that solution. So I'm going to kind of take it back to the middle of the screen here. So you can write the solution, then you have a repeat of the requirements. And here is the solution which is a class diagram. I'm going to hide the ticks at the moment. So we have the class diagram for top group problem here, where we have staff and students that inherit from persons. We have our attributes and our methods that are placed within the image. So here, We are not manipulating a class diagram on the website. We are just showing an image. And again, for each under each solution, there will be the possibility to post comments. But the one thing that when I was started using that application with my student last year is, well, they didn't generate any discussions. Well, the students wanted to see solutions, and that was about it. So we decided maybe the type of feedback that the tutors and I would provide the students was maybe something that would be better adopted by the students, by the crowd, to be able to put in some discussions. So Shandika, the software developer, developed this kind of flash tool that comes in on the picture, where now we can also have, in fact, I'm going to move that a little bit. We can add annotation onto the diagram itself. So I can add a tick, and then I can just start on that tick, I will start a mini forum. So I will then add my comment and here, you know, some things about staff. Staff is indeed whatever, you know, and I will have my comment and I will post it. And then, so I'm plugged in as Chloé Durand, who is my test user. So then, you know, somebody else can go later on and reply to that post, and I can start having some discussions on those ticks and those crosses. So, and that's really, well, that's something that is really kind of exciting us in a lot of different ways. Again, we don't know if the students will adopt it. When we designed the system, we didn't just think students lecturer type relationship, but really anybody out there who wants to understand better how object-oriented works and how you go from that problem and to designing a solution. I think that's about all I'm going to talk about here. So I'm just going to go back to those slides. Just going to conclude on, well, we have some ideas for where to go next. The one thing, well, two things that at the moment the diagrams can be, it's just a picture. We have no idea of the objects that are within that picture. So we have no idea that there is an entity, a relationship, a class, a method, an attribute. We don't know what those objects in the pictures are. So that would be, I guess, trying to put some intelligence behind those images. But also, what is very important for anybody to learn about new concepts is to be able to compare different solutions. And, well, this is something that we haven't yet included any way to compare the different solutions. The only tool that we have to compare different solutions is via the forums that we have, either on the image itself or at the bottom of each solution page that we have. If we suppose that this is going to be adopted and it's going to be used and people are going to start posting problems and solutions, then we can start thinking, well, you know, you might want to only see some solutions and not all of them, and then being able to select, you want to see solutions by such person, or maybe rating by the rating as well. I only want to see the solutions that have been rating the best, and so on. And if you look at the system where we have the annotations themselves, where you can put in a solution, then annotate it, then have discussions around it, then in the longer term, maybe being able to integrate such tool within Moodle, for example, or a tutor would be something that, you know, we would really love to. But yeah, that's kind of the mid to long term, I would say. And in the long term, one thing that we completely never talked about is how to support assessment. And we're not yet talking about how to support assessment, because as soon as you start talking about assessment, you have, you know, the fact that, well, you want not to show what you are doing, you want to be able to compare one solutions against the other one from a plagiarism issues and so on. And this is, well, the idea of that environment is really about sharing and about putting it all out there for discussion. And if we were to have, you know, a lot of solutions and problems that were starting to be placed there on the website, then we could also start thinking about, you know, how kind of starting creating a set of best practices from a requirements spec analysis point of view. So I think that's about. Well, we have many, many more ideas, and we know that at this point in time, well, the developments that you've seen both from the website and the Eclipse plugin, that was from a software development point of view, that was the effort of one person over 5 months' time. At the moment, Chandika is doing some more work because we want to be able to do a capture of what people are doing and how they're doing it. And then we are starting also working with Linda Stern on how to analyze those logs then from an education point of view. So that's some things that we are working at the moment. So I'm happy to take questions, comments, ideas, thoughts. Yes. Jason.
Let's suppose you have a student in your course whose attitude is somewhat like mine. That is that anything geometrical with any degree of complexity.
Yeah. Yes, so shall I repeat? The question is, Jason, is it your name? Yeah, Jason, who is visually impaired, is asking how such a system would support people who have difficulty in putting into diagrams and forms. I guess, is that your...
No, the difficulty with thinking in those kinds of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so thinking in terms of language and logic is a lot easier. I guess here, I didn't take into considerations, you know, when we start doing the, on the websites, I didn't think of students who are in your case. It is.
Situation. What struck me is a person who likes to do UML diagrams and actually thinks that diagrams are the
Yes. Yes, to a certain point, though.
He presses a button, he thinks logically, I get the diagram.
Yeah.
But I'd like to be able to build a diagram and press the button and get a text. But Jason, can you do that around here?
That was the question you really wanted.
Yeah.
So that's a different round trip, because you can do the diagram if you understand how you get to the diagram.
Right, but can I give this you a diagram really... and get your system to give me the text?
No. And that would be...
So that's a logical decision of yours, or is that something... Because I think there are people, as Jason, the way he framed his question was to say there are logical sort of people and there are graphical sort of people. I'm asking, this, I think, forces a particular view of the world. Is it a pedagogical decision?
Oh, well, the initial decision here is not pedagogical. It's really we had limited resource. Initially I had a software engineer for 3 months. Okay? So we could not possibly come up with a graphical and a textual solution initially. So we decided to go with the textual, with kind of this lab approach, because well, this was something that in 3 months' time we could get to work. We could get out of the door. And yes, some of the future work that we are thinking about is, you know, how you could, instead of, you know, highlighting and say mark as a verb, highlighting mark as a noun, is to kind of, you know, go and drag it and start putting it in a space and start so playing with it from an image point of view would be something that would require a much bigger effort in development.
But what you have done is very good, and I was thinking it's not unlike complex CAD, I believe, that a lot of people actually don't look at the diagrams, but I'll hand them over to somebody that needs diagrams. But they will actually think through the database. So
It is, and in fact, both your question and your approach there is really giving me, I guess, the two sides of that coin. Where, well, with the Eclipse plugin, you really have to go through that logic process. So we're really forcing you to go through the logic process, and there, I guess, this is where Jason would use that tool and be able to create the class diagram, well, without... But then, once the class diagram is created, the problem that we have from his perspective on the website is the fact that, as I was saying, we are only looking at an image. So the discussions there, and this is where having the information behind each of these boxes saying, you know, being able to know that this is a staff object and this is a student object when you go on top of the image. So having the knowledge behind and being able to reason about what the image is containing. But I guess at the moment I'm supporting Jason in the way, well, this tool is supporting Jason in the initial steps trying to make sense of the text and extracting, having the logic behind it. But for people who are very visual, we might indeed slow them down, but I think you cannot get to the diagram if you don't initially understand, even though you might not want to do it yourself. You have to be able to deconstruct that piece of text before you can get to that picture. But now, if you give me a class diagram, well, I never even tried to do that, in fact, to see how many different requirement specs could we create from that one diagram. I think that could be quite a fair bit. In fact, when I create my exams, this is generally what I do. I first draw my boxes and I kind of, because I'm a very visual person, and then I will write. But I never try to analyze the process that I'm going through when I do that. So, but yes, I have to admit that the website that we created wouldn't support people who are visually impaired because we're manipulating an image. So you have to have the knowledge behind the image to a certain extent. Well, if you were to, because each of these solutions has an eclipse, well, is each of the specLADs, the specification and class diagram tuples, have an eclipse file that comes along with it. So you could go back to the eclipse file to try to understand really what is the problem about, and then maybe make sense of the discussions that are going on. But yes, we have the forum that will discuss one solution. The solution, when the author of the solution posted, they can also add a note to it, explain what is their solution about and something. So.
I think for me, it's really exciting seeing something which encourages social development of specifications, where you can actually mm-hmm. have a group of people looking.
Of people working on the same solution.
But I'm also okay. sort of thinking, if it's possibly a bit like Linda, the image is a single kind of output, and that some of these other things are visual ways. Mm-hmm. For that kind of specification for you, then if the components of that picture were broken up into single items which remembered their attributes,
yes,
at alt tags or whatever, then perhaps the collection of images which make up your diagram could become something that does do the round trip.
Yeah, and in fact, one thing I should mention is that, well, Shandika, the programmer who was on this, he's now starting a company where he's looking exactly into this, on he's looking at how to build a collaborative tool that could work, using this type of approach there, where you would have the intelligence behind what it is that you are designing as you are designing it. But again, then, and one thing that I'm going to get back to Shandika is Jason's question, how would that support people with different limitations when it comes to interaction as well. So yeah, that's exactly the route that Shandika is taking in his adventure now.
Cool.
Yeah, so a shame he's not here to talk more about these things. Yes. I'm not aware of it, but
one thing that I've done, it's not new enough, but certainly we've used a thing called GradVid just to design store diagrams in a textual format.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a flat diagram or a flow chart is a very short textual.
Could help support
could help
building the intelligence.
A web-based diagram.
Yeah.
Secondly, also helps as an alternative way of looking at or hearing the content of the time.
Yes, indeed.
Graph is
how do you spell it? Just graph is?
Graph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
G-R-A-Z?
P-H.
Oh, P-H.
V-I-Z.
V-I-Z, okay, yeah. And in fact, what you're just mentioning, that reminds me of my PhD work back in the early 90s was around automatic evaluation of software. And I designed a text tool and a graphical representation of task modeling to be able to support that. So maybe I should go back to my notes there. Thanks. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I'm taking this in, yeah. But I think lots of good, very, very interesting ideas there. Any other comments?
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Oof.
Thank you, that was cool.
Oh, thanks. Well, that was some fabulous ideas.